Amen. So, Father God, we just want to thank you this morning, Father God, as we prepare for the word, Father God. We pray that no one leaves, Father God, the same as they came, Father God. We pray that the word that goes through today touches each and every one, Father God. We thank you for each and every one here today, Father God, and the ones who may hear us later or see us later, Father God. We thank you for them as well, Father God. Father God, we pray for the homeless and the helpless today, the sick and the shut-in today, Father God. We pray, Father God, that there you are with them in the midst, Father God. We pray for the hungry, Father God, and the homeless, Father God. We just thank you this morning, Father God. And Father God, as we go on with this service, Father God, we pray that the words that come out the pastor's mouth is always acceptable in your sight, Father God. So we just thank you. We give you praise this morning. We give you honor and we give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's see if I can come up with some music this morning. Okay.
Presence.
Know that we need to ask the right source for help. That's right. All. Because some folks, you cry help to them, you ain't gonna get nothing. But when you say, "Lord, help me," you gonna get some help.
Amen.
So praise God. We thank God for that this morning, and thank you for helping us out right at the last minute. I could have sent you the praise and worship music. I didn't know she wasn't. Be here, but anyway, praise the Lord. We're here, and God is here. The Holy Ghost is here, and He got a word for us. And so, we're just going to go into our message right now. Father, we thank you so much for your spirit, and we thank you for your presence, and we thank you, Lord God, that we have ears anointed to hear and hearts open to receive this morning. And we thank you, Lord God, that whatever is said or done will bring glory and honor to you. It's not by power and it's not by might. It's by your precious Holy Spirit. And so we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that your word gives life. We thank you that your word is life. And we thank you, Father God, that he came and dwelt among us. That's what we know, is that the word was in God, and the word was God. And we know that he took on human flesh and dwelt among us. So we thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I had planned something else for my message this morning, but the Lord just prompted me that maybe I needed to go a different direction. So we're going to talk about we serve an unlimited God. So don't estimate God. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Because sometimes we have to estimate God, treat him like he's a human being. And we're limited, but he's not limited. You know, Jesus Christ came, and he came that we might have life abundantly. And so when we look at the scriptures, we want to see that God is an unlimited God. And he is infinite. That's what he is. He's all powerful. He's all knowing, all capable. And there's no limits restricting him. Yet despite this, to our own harm, we, his followers, tend to limit the power of God by erroneous thinking. We have stinking thinking. And so we will look at some promises of God's in his word that will dispel that anti-biblical thinking and open you up to receive the unlimited blessings of God. That's what we want to happen for all of us, is that we receive the unlimited blessings of God. And so we look at Psalm 78 this morning, verses 40 through 43. And it says, they vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power, the day he redeemed them from the oppressor, the day he displayed his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. And then verse 41 says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The word limited is used by King James Version, is rendered differently in various translations. So the verses surrounding verse 4 certainly make a good case for the use of limited in this particular context. Israel diminished their expectations of our unlimited God. So in verse 42, it says they did not remember his power. And 43 says his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders. You know, God is a God of wonders. He's a God of miracles. He is unlimited, and we have to remember that. So these people, they put their own limits on God, and so he couldn't intervene in their lives. And they did that by failing to remember his historical demonstrated power, signs, and wonders. You know, sometimes we need to go back and remember how many times God has come to our rescue, how many times he's blessed us, how many times he bailed us out of situations that looked impossible. And he just comes along and takes that in and does what needs to be done to get us out of that mess. So God's intervention in our lives is very important. So like Israel of old, we too often limit God. Not necessarily deliberately, but we still often diminish our expectations of him. We should have expectations of what God will do and what he's already done. We need to remember that so that we can continue to have expectations of his unlimited power on our behalf. We consider him as less than omnipotent. He is omnipotent, and we doubt his constant willingness to bless us. We look at God and think he's just like us because we oftentimes are unwilling. We're unwilling to forgive. We're unwilling to forget. And so we have to pattern ourselves. We have to remember how God has blessed us, how he has been willing to bless us, even though we fall from grace. Most days we fall from grace in some way or another. And so we have to remember that God is a forgiving God, and he is willing to forgive us. The scripture says that if we are willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land, but we have to be willing, and we need to be obedient. And that means that when we fall from grace, that means when we do what is not of God, we need to repent. And 1 John 1:9 helps us to know how to do that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So that's where we have to start. So we doubt his constant willingness to bless us. We don't remember his power, his miraculous signs, his wonders. So that's why we have to go and get back in the Word so we can see how many wonderful miracles and signs and wonders God has given his people in the past. He's the same God. And we forget that the scripture in Malachi 3:6 tells us, I am the Lord, I change not. He is forever the same all-powerful God who delights in blessing his people. He's the same God that you read about that parted the Red Sea so his people could cross. He's that same God that turned when Jesus was at the wedding and needed to have more wine. I need to explain that because many of you all are in recovery. That wine that they drank was really just some grape juice, some watery grape juice that they drank, and they called it wine. It was not the stuff that y'all drank. I'm trying to call the name of some of it. God, they even took that out of my mouth. But anyway, it was not fermented wine. It was a watery substance that was like grape juice. And that's what they were serving at the wedding. So they ran out, and Mary told her son, Jesus, you need to help the people out. And so he turned some water. He told them to get some water. And he turned that water into wine. And they said that wine was better than the first we had. So you see, we need to go back and see those miracles. And Jesus healed all who came to him in faith. He healed them. And the apostle Peter healed individuals and the multitudes. The apostle Paul had a remarkable record of ministering divine healing. Philip had great healings in Samaria. You know, he ran a revival in Samaria. He had great healings in Samaria. And God, through a disciple named Ananias, healed the Apostle Paul's blindness. If you know that story, the Apostle Paul was really an anti-Jesus man. And he was on his way to Damascus to get some Christians arrested and put in jail. And on his way to Damascus, he met Jesus. On the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. And when he met him, the light from God was so bright that he lost his eyesight. And so he went into the city of Damascus. He went there. There was a brother named Ananias that God said, you go take him into the city. Ananias didn't want to do it because he was afraid that Paul was going to put him in jail because he was a Christian. And God said, you take him. And he took him to this house. And when he got to that house, that's when God gave him back his eyesight. You can read about that in the book of Acts for yourself. And not just Jesus, but believers consistently healed the sick. Jesus set the example, but we have men who laid hands on people and they received their healing just like Jesus did. So don't limit God to a healing only while Jesus walked on earth. That you don't limit him. You can get a healing today. You need healing. He may not do it the way you think he's going to do it, but he can heal your body. He can heal your mind. Some of us need a healing in our hearts. So do not limit God to healing only through the apostles. People say that the miracles stop happening when the apostles died. Can you imagine that they put limits on God? I've heard believers stand up and say, there's no more miracles because that stopped happening when the apostles died. The apostles were men like us. Those in the upper room were people like us. And they were used of God in their time. But God is still performing healings and deliverances. Miracles are still available to our Father God. So do not limit God to healing only through the apostles. In fact, it's an honor and a privilege of all believers to lay hands on the sick and to see the sick recover. Look at Mark 16, 17, and 18. You can see that for yourself. And then in Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26, we find, worship the Lord your God, and his blessings will be on your food and on your water. I will take away sickness from among you. That's Old Testament. So God not only manifests healing power in the New Testament, in the book of Acts and the New Testament books, but way back in Exodus, when those folks got free from slavery, he was doing healings then. He said, I will take away sickness from among you. For the worshipers of God, he is the Lord who takes sickness from among you. So if you're sick this morning, you need to continue to stand in faith and believe God for your healing. I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor. I'm not telling you to stop taking your medicine. You don't have to do any of that. God is capable of doing what he does. Right now, I'm walking in faith for a healing in my knees. And I had one, my right knee was healed some years ago. I had an x-ray at that time, and it showed that, the part that was supposed to be in between my joint was no longer there. It was bone on bone. And I was having pain every day. Now today, that right knee is healed. Even in this time when I'm going through the pain and discomfort of the left knee, the right knee is good. You see, now it's the left knee. And I'm taking some medicine for that knee. I had a cortisone shot. I may have to have another one. The first one that I had from my doctor did not do anything. So then God had her refer me to the orthopedic specialist, and he gave me one that seems to be helping. It's at least I know I had it. But you see, God is healing me in the way he desires to. We want to dictate how God does healing. We cannot do that. But he heals today. You don't have to stop taking your medicine. I want to emphasize that. Because some people tell you you don't need to take the medicine. I was in the group that when we were first connected with the charismatic movement, a Pentecostal type movement that we called charismatic. And people was telling folks to throw their glasses away. People were having prayer lines and he was stepping on folks' glasses because they didn't know. They didn't know and they didn't study as they should have. You don't have to do none of that. God is able to heal you with your glasses on. All of a sudden you realize you don't need your glasses. So we need to understand that. When I was a student at Rhema Bible College, I went there with a pair of reading glasses. And I had a Bible that I could put in my purse. And that was the Bible that I used for my classes when I went to class. Now, at Rhema, they give you a Thompson Chain Bible. And that's a wonderful Bible. If you don't have one, you ought to ask God to bless you with a Thompson Chain. And the Thompson Chain translation of the Bible gives you references. When you read one scripture, you can look over in the margin and you will see some other scriptures that you can use that relate to that subject and run a reference. That's what we call it. But anyway, I was using my Bible and I wasn't using my glasses. And I did that until I came back to California and got started doing the work of the Lord here. And all of a sudden I realized that my distance vision was changing because I couldn't see signs unless I was right up on them. And then I realized that my close-up vision, it was not so good. Things got blurry. So then I knew it was time to put my glasses back on. As a matter of fact, they diagnosed me as needing bifocals, but it's nothing wrong with glasses. People sometimes wear glasses to be fashionable, but I wear mine because I need them. But you see, God is not a God who, he's not a man that he would lie, nor a son of man that he would repent. That's what the scripture tells us. So don't limit God. Don't limit a God to healing only through the apostles. And then we need to understand, for the worshiper of God, he is the Lord who takes away sickness from among you. We've already talked about that. And taking away sickness is one of God's blessings for the worshiper of God. You know, we don't feel good some days. And we say, Lord, help me. You heard the song this morning. Lord, I need you to help me. And when we do that, God causes us to feel better. We feel better. We get better. We're talking to people who had some serious diagnoses, and they're getting better. And yes, God can use doctors. He can use medicine. He can do all of that. But you still here walking around saying, God, I need you to help me. You have to understand that. So it's also one of God's benefits for his children. It is healing. That's what we have to understand. And Psalms 103, verses 2 and 3 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases. Now, that's found in the book of Psalms. That's Old Testament, but that's good today. Everything God says is always appropriate, even today. That's the truth spoken to us, that he heals all of our diseases. So let all of your diseases mean exactly that. Don't limit God in his desire to heal you. Exodus 15:26 says, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. God made that promise to his people, because you see, the Egyptians came down with all kind of diseases. There were plagues going on in Egypt, and they were continually, people were dying. Even the Pharaoh's child died because he would not let God's people go. And you see, when the death angel came through Egypt, God told the Israelites what to do. He told them to kill a lamb, and he told them to cook it and to do a certain thing with it and to put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. Now, why would he want them to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost? And who does the lamb symbolize? Our own Jesus Christ. And so they put that blood on the doorpost of their houses. And when the death angel came through, the death angel didn't stop at any of those places where the blood was represented. So here we see the power of the blood of the lamb, and the lamb for us, the lamb who shed his blood for us, is Jesus Christ. So we thank God. We need to know that even in the days of in the Old Testament, where our people were in slavery, the people of God were in slavery, that God was still blessing. So for the worshiper of God, he is the Lord who will take sickness from among you. And so we need to understand that. Let all your diseases means exactly that. Don't limit God and his desires to heal you. So if you're believing God today for your healing, don't be discouraged. You know, you got to stand. You got to continue to stand, and you don't look at what you see, but you know you stand on the Word of God. And so you continue to stand on the Word of God that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. And you do that, and you don't let doubt and unbelief come out of your mouth. You don't let people talk doubt and unbelief to you. We were talking, my son and I, Reverend Chris, about the days when his daughter Kamaria was 6 months old and had a liver that was dying every day. And he was believing God for a new liver for Kamaria. And he would not allow anyone to talk doubt and unbelief to him. He would not allow you to say nothing that was represented doubt and unbelief. And today, my granddaughter Kamaria is a student at St. Mary's College studying to be a registered nurse, you see. God blessed her with a liver, and she is amazing to the doctors. The doctors continue to be amazed by the things that happen to organ donor recipients that have not happened to her. And so they really are amazed about her. But you see, God was in that. God is the one that got the liver. God is the one that made sure she had the liver. And God is the one that's keeping her well and healthy. So don't limit God in his desire to heal. So if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, that's really important, and you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, he says, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. For the godly believer, God is not only the afflicter with diseases, but the afflicter from diseases, you see. And God is not the one that makes us sick. We make ourselves sick. We open the door for sickness and disease. Sickness and disease came from the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that's when people started getting sick and dying. We look at the Old Testament saints, and we look at people that live for hundreds of years. Now we think it's special if somebody lives for 100 years. So, you know, we need to understand that doubt and unbelief and sin is what causes sickness and disease. And so once we Satan attacks our body with an affliction, we need to know that our faith is in God. We are trusting God. He is the one that causes healing to come. So there was a sick lady one time, the story goes, and she said, maybe God is not willing to heal me quickly, but rather is teaching me through this and his blessing to others by my example. That's not true. It's not true at all. God is not making you sick to teach you a lesson. I hear people saying that, and that is not true. God is not making you sick to teach you a lesson. It's Satan that causes you to have sickness and disease. And you need to know that there was no sickness and disease on the earth until Adam and Eve committed the sin of eating from that tree that God told them not to. So we need to know that that was erroneous thinking that woman had. And she needed to understand that God is not the one that makes us sick, but he is the one that causes us to be healed. So her faulty conclusions, we have to remember that God does not make us sick. Jesus said to the leper, he said, I am willing, So don't limit God, the Lord God, in the realm of healing. He is willing to heal. The story of the leper, you find that in Mark 1, verse 41. And God said, you know, I am willing, meaning I am willing to heal you of your leprosy. And so we're going to just kind of wind this up. So do you think of miracles as only for Bible Day? Or do you believe that miracles are for you today? So Malachi 3:6, remember, I am the Lord, I change not. God is the same God. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. God is always the same. He does not change. What he did in biblical times, he can do today, and he's willing to do it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's Hebrews 13:8. Jesus performed miracles in the first century, and he is the same today, and still does miracles in the 21st century. Neither God the Father nor Jesus Christ his Son has changed. They work miracles among the people in the times of old, and they continue to work miracles in modern times. So again, don't limit God's miraculous acts only today's gone by. Know that it's for today. You know, these people that teach you that healing was for another time, healing is not for today. That's erroneous teaching. And also, don't limit the extent of what God can do. You see, because when everybody was saying at the hospital that my granddaughter was on the list for a liver, but there were people ahead of her. And so my son said, oh, no, he wouldn't accept that. He said, oh, no. God is going to bless my daughter with a liver. He kept on saying that, doctor, I know that God is going to bless my daughter with a liver. And I never shall forget that morning. He was staying at my house at the time, and his son called him, his oldest son, Neil, little boy then. Well, he was 12 years old, because I think he's 12 years older than Kamaria. And he said, Dad, you need to meet us at the hospital because they have a liver for Kamala. And so when my son hit the floor, I hit the floor too. I said, let's go. I'm going to. And I tell you what, she's a living witness today. She still has that liver. And as I say, she is now preparing herself for getting her training so that she can help others who might need a liver, whatever it is they need help with as a registered nurse. So don't limit God's miraculous acts only today's gone by. Also, don't limit the extent of what God can do. 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7 said, Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. The story is about a woman who prepared a cake of bread for she and her son and said to the prophet Elisha that we have no more money, we have no more food. I'm preparing this little cake, and we're going to eat this last bread, and then we're going to die. And the prophet Elisha said to her, these things that I read to you, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. As each is filled, put it to one side. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Now, all of this oil came out of one container. Okay? God, Jesus had her to continue. God had her to continue to use oil out of that one container. One container filled all the jars that she had until she didn't have no more jars left. And then it says in the Word of God, the oil stopped flowing. So wouldn't you love to have a bottle that you could just keep on filling other bottles with oil, or keep on filling other bottles with whatever it is that you needed at the time? Have you ever thought about how miraculous that was? He didn't give the woman a case of oil. He gave her one bottle, and that the bottle kept filling itself. God kept filling it. That's what's really happening. God kept filling it up. She poured oil out, it filled up again. She poured oil out, it can come up again. So, you see, God is, don't underestimate God. Don't limit God's ability to provide supernaturally. Through the prophet Elijah, God was going to provide a miraculous supply of valuable oil for the destitute widow. He took her to borrow empty jars. And he said, don't ask for just a few. Ask for plenty of jars, because I'm going to give you a whole lot of oil. His ability and his unlimited care for his people. See, God is not limited in his care for you. Wherever you are today in your spirituality, wherever you are in healing for your body, wherever you are with whatever you believe in God for, know that God is not limited. That's what we want you to know. And so he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think. So my question to you today is, do you need a miracle in your life today? Don't ask for just a little of God's help. Don't limit the extent to which Almighty God can help you. You know, we heard that song, God, I need you to help me. Well, that was very apropos, because we really do need to know that we say, God, we need you to help us. And we're not putting the limit on you. You know, look, Scott, who used to be with us, there was a chorus that he used to sing, and we sang in the service, saying, take the limits off. Take the limits off. So we need to say that this morning. God, I want to take the limits off. And if the Lord says, come, then you, like Peter, can just walk on the water. You can do all of that kind of stuff. You know, God can have you doing all kind of miracles. God is a God of miracles, signs, and wonders. So we're going to leave it at that this morning, and want you to remember that. And if you believe in God for your healing this morning, don't give up because it looks like it's not changing. Don't give up because the doctor said he can't do anything else. Don't give up because other people are saying, well, you know, I had that, and so and so and so. Don't listen to doubt and unbelief, but stand faith, stand strong in faith in God. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, thank God for all of you this morning. We thank God for those that will hear this at a later date. And we want you to know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's available. He's available. And he said, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. And when you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're in line to, for that miracle. Now, there are places where God healed people before they knew him. But you know, if you don't know him, I'd advise you to get to know him this morning. And so we leave that with you. And we're going to ask our Reverend Robeson to dismiss us. And I want y'all to have a really blessed day in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So God has not, and I repeat, has not stopped doing miracles. And he has never stopped doing miracles. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, go look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror. If you don't believe what I have, you ever said, oh, Lord, I can't stop drinking. Oh, Lord, I can't stop getting high. I know I'm talking about me and a few other people. Lord, I can't stop. I got high for 30 some years. I don't believe it today. That was a miracle. So he's creating individual miracles for each and every one of us. And we just need to look in the mirror and we'll see it. And I love when Pastor tell that story about Kamaria. Y'all know I've been hearing it for 16 years and I want to hear it for 16 more because I understand that story. I was in St. Luke's Presbyterian Hospital as a child. They said I was going to be dead or mentally disturbed by the age of 18 because of that lead poison that they had in the paint in the ghettos. They said I was going to be dead or mentally disturbed before I was 18 years old. That's what the doctor said because all of the radiations and the tests and the stuff that they had to do to me before they found what was wrong with me. See, and I didn't know God as a child. I didn't come up in that type of family. So, yes, when Pastor said he helped people before they even know him, you best to believe that. You best to believe that. So thank you for that word, Pastor. God has never stopped. And that's going to be the title. Unless you got another one. God has never stopped doing miracles, whether you see him or not. So amen for that. Thank you for that. So Father God, we just want to thank you, Father God. We thank you for that word that went forth today, Father God. And Father God, we need to take the limits off. There is no limits to you and there is no limits to your work and your miracles, Father God. And we need to know this and we need to take the limits off, Father God. So we thank you, Lord, for each and everything you do, Father God, for those very small miracles and those very big ones, Father God, the miracles that you have created in our lives, Father God, that we didn't even know that you done, Father God. So we just thank you. We thank you, Father God. If we had 10,000 tongues, it still wouldn't be enough, Father God. And this morning, Father God, we thank you, for, like we said, for that word that went forth. We thank you for the message and the messenger, Father God, each and everyone here, each and everyone that will listen later, Father God. And we do thank you for the families that are represented here today, Father God. And as we go into this bigger holiday, Father God, that people think it's just for the drink and be merry, Father God, we know, Father God, this holiday was created for you. So we don't want to forget as we go into this holiday why we serve you, Father God, why we celebrate this holiday, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God, for just waking us up each morning and giving us another day, Father God. So we just give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all take the limits off, y'all. Take the limits off. Don't make me sing. Don't make me sing that song now. No. All right, everybody. Y'all have a blessed week. All right.
Beautiful day.
Amen. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank